Good morning, church. Scripture reading for today comes from James 1, verse 17. That's James 1, verse 17. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Once again, that's James chapter 1, verse 17. And it reads, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing and the doing of his word.
Amen. Church, say amen again.
Amen.
Good morning to you. It's good to be here. It's always good to return safely, flying in those friendly skies. It's good when those planes get down safely, especially when you experience enough turbulence, kind of get your attention a little bit. But we're thankful. We appreciate your prayers on our behalf whenever we're traveling that way, and that we can make it home safely and to be back with the church here. It's always a delight, and we're thankful for you. We're always thankful for any visitors that might be visiting with us. We appreciate so much that you have chosen to be with us this morning, and we are always honored to have you. Hope that we can make your stay with us a great one, and certainly a profitable one for you spiritually. We hope you can stay with us all day. We also have a meal, share a meal together afterwards, and so we hope you can stay with us and help us and allow us to get to know you a little better. I believe that most people, I would say, it would not be a stretch if I said that most people enjoy receiving gifts. That wouldn't be a stretch, would it? I mean, we might say, "Oh, don't get me anything." It might not mean that. But I think most folks like receiving gifts, and God, gifts can say a great deal about an individual. When you see or you witness gift giving, it can say a lot about the person who is receiving the gift. You know, if you actually did not know a person and you were maybe through a mutual friend invited to a birthday party where they're celebrating this individual, and the folks were giving gifts to this individual that knew them best, and you witnessed that, you would probably be able to ascertain some things about that person based on the gifts they were receiving. And venture to say that if you saw someone giving me gifts, and you saw that they were giving me gifts according to my hobby, and you saw some golf-type gifts, you'd probably say, "That man plays golf," or "He likes golf." Wouldn't make sense for folks to be giving me gifts pertaining to golf if I didn't like golf, or they didn't know that. So you can learn a great deal about people based on the gifts they're receiving, but also you might even learn some things about the people who are giving those gifts. You know, sometimes you can understand just the thoughtfulness. You know, sometimes you've seen people cry after they received a gift because it meant so much. They understood what the person was thinking, the sentimentality that's probably surrounding that gift, and how much thought went into that gift. It may be something that only that person knows, and they gave this person a gift. The person broke down crying because, "Wow, for you to think of me that way," says a lot. So sometimes in gift giving, we get to learn something about the person who's giving the gift, but we also get to ascertain some things about the person who is receiving the gift. Now, the beautiful thing about this particular situation is that we're talking about God. And we're talking about God and his willingness to give us gifts. And that God has loved us so much that he has given us some wonderful, some gracious gifts. And I call this sermon this morning a life-changing gift. Because when we think about the gifts that God has given unto man, then it helps us to appreciate what God thinks of man. You might be having a rough time in your life right now. Sometimes, you know, life gets the best of us, doesn't it? It shouldn't, if you have the right relationship with God. Life shouldn't get us that way, but sometimes we still go into those valleys, and sometimes we go into those moments where we're low, and a lot of that has to do with maybe some relationships that you have in this life, and sometimes people can make you feel less than you ought to feel, can't they? Sometimes folk can really depress you. If you're not careful, folk can stress you out, and folk can make you feel like you're not what you should be. Well, that's when you look to God. And that's when you start to understand and appreciate that God must have cared an awful lot about man in order to give us what he has given us. Amen. You heard it in the scripture reading, James chapter 1 and verse number 17. The Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift come from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Gifts that say a lot about God as a giver, but also gifts that say a great deal about us as the recipients of those gifts. Notice with me, if you will, just a few of God's gifts. Now, based on these gifts, you should ascertain that God cares a great deal about you. If you didn't know how important you were, all you have to do is think about what God has done on your behalf, the gifts that God has given you, and that will help you to appreciate just how important you are. I mean, I might not be as important to you, but I know there's a God in heaven that loves me so much that he gave some wonderful gifts that shows just how important I am and shows also what he thinks of me. He gave us the gift of his son. Now, that's a very well-known passage in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, where the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Now, you need to understand, only begotten son. There's only one Christ. There's only one Lord. There's only one King of Kings. And when you think about a king sacrificing himself for a pauper, you will never see that among men. But we get that from God. In other words, God did not look into heaven and get an angel of all of the myriads of angels that were in heaven, but God got the best that heaven had to offer. And that was the gift of his only begotten son. And God, if you will, the second person of the Godhead, got off of his throne, came down here, robed himself in flesh, and suffered at the hands of his own creation. And he did all of that and suffered, as the Hebrew writers say, the contradiction of sinners, the hostility of man, man hostile toward his creator. They had God right here with them, the very one who was responsible for man's existence and responsible for the continuation of his life, responsible for all things that man has to enjoy, responsible for the very air that they breathe, responsible for the very ground upon which they were walking, responsible for their family members and everyone else. The very one who did that and is responsible for all that was standing right in their midst, and they put him to death. And why did he do it? Because, why would he suffer that way at the hands of his own creation? Because of us. Because he thought so much of you. Because he thought so much of me. He was willing to endure all that he did, giving us the precious gift of his own son. He gave us the gift of eternal life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." The gift of God is eternal life. It is a gift, my friends, that cannot be earned. It is a gift that no one can say he deserves. But what God has through his grace and through his mercy conferred upon man. And as a result of that, we get to one day enjoy eternal life. When the last time you thought about what you're going to be doing in heaven when you get there? When the last time you thought about what it'll be like to actually look upon him and to be able to look upon his face? We sing a song that we can look upon his face, because right now, obviously, in these bodies, no man can see God and live. But imagine having a body prepared where we'll be able to don the shores of heaven and able to look in God's face. Don't you have questions? Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong unto God, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children." We have those things that are revealed. Don't you have questions about the things that are not? I sure would like to know about some events in my life where we look back and we peruse over those things that we have gone through in life and the way things have worked out, and it seems like if that had not happened, that wouldn't have happened, and yet that happened, which led to this. And you kind of, don't you want to know what God was doing in all of that? We say, man, it must have been God's providence. Well, we can't be for certain, but it just seems like it must have been God's providence. Well, I've got several events in my life that I was wondering, what was God doing? And I sure like to get there and ask him. And he has given us an opportunity to be with him so that we'll have plenty of time to ask all the questions and to spend as much time as we need, because it's called eternal life. It is a gift that is conferred upon us by his grace and by his mercy. He also has given unto us the gift of righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 5. And notice when we get there, verse number 17. Brother Craig, how does it read?
For as by one man's offense, death reigned by one.
Now you know what Adam did, right? You know what Adam did? Adam, obviously, by one man's offense, when they sinned in the beginning, they allowed sin and death into the world. So guess what? Because Adam sinned, because Eve sinned, now death reigns. Man has to die. So the reason you and I are heading to the day of our death is because of what happened in the beginning. So it only took one man to do that and to allow sin and death into the world. And now you and I have to deal with that. And that's why people have been dying ever since. God told them, in the day you eat thereof, of that fruit that's in the midst of the garden, he said, you shall not eat of it, but in the day you eat of it, you shall die. Dying thou shalt die is what the Hebrew says. Dying thou shalt die. You will begin a process of physical death. Now, some folks argue that it's spiritual death. But either way, let me tell you, both things occurred. Obviously, man found a way to get separated from God in sin. And Isaiah says that about the people in his day. Lord, hell is not sure that it cannot say, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities are separated between your God and sins. Have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. So it was possible, even in Isaiah's day, for the people to separate themselves from God because of sin. And when man continues in sin, he continues to alienate himself from a relationship with God. Well, that started in Genesis chapter 3, which is why those folks decided that they needed to run from the presence of God. They had not run from God's presence before that time, but now they feel the need to run from the presence of God. When people find themselves hiding from God, don't have a right relationship with him, they fear him, they dread him, and all of those kind of things, it's because of sin. Sin will make you do that. But listen, he says, for as by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more what?
Much more they which receive abundance of grace.
There's another gift. There's the gift of the grace, the gift that has been conferred upon us, the mercy that God has extended. Why? Because he knew our plight. If God does not get involved here, every man, woman, boy, girl is going to a devil's hell. If God doesn't intervene, if God doesn't show mercy, if God doesn't sympathize with us and empathize with us, if God doesn't do something, if God does not confer his grace upon us through his son, we are all doomed. So you understand and appreciate what a gift this is. Keep reading.
Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ.
Now back up to Romans chapter 3. I'm just thinking this now because I should have probably put this in there. Mm-hmm. But look at Romans chapter 3. Read verse 20 through 22.
Okay. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight.
Uh-huh.
For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law...
Wait. Slow down. Listen. But now,
the righteousness
of God by what?
Without the law.
Wait a minute. This is a different righteousness. The righteousness of God without the law what?
Is being witnessed by the law and the prophets.
Read.
Even the righteousness of God.
Even the righteousness of God what?
Which is by faith of Jesus Christ.
Listen. This is the righteousness of which he speaks. It is the righteousness of Christ. What does that mean to you and me? It means that the righteousness that God has given us as a gift is the righteousness that was brought by his son. And the righteousness that was brought by his son has to be conferred upon me and you as recipients of his grace, because we received the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you receive this righteousness, because the reason God had to give us this righteousness as a gift is because our righteousness wouldn't do it. You can be as right as you want to be, but your righteousness won't justify you before God. You can be as right as you want to be. You can be as good as you want to be, but your goodness and your righteousness is a filthy rags apart from Christ. Amen. You can't be morally good enough in order to get God into your debt and say that now I will justify myself by how good I am. And so what does he say? Same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21, when Paul said, "For he made him to be sin for us." In other words, not sin. I don't want you believing that all our sins went on Jesus so that he was sinful on the cross. That's not what he's saying. He made him be sin for us. In other words, he made him to be an offering for sin.
Yes.
So therefore, he could carry our sins before God, wipe them off with his death on the cross, so that now we can be justified and made righteous in the sight of God. If Jesus does not take our sins to the cross, you and I cannot be righteous before God. So the righteousness which is by faith, the righteousness of Christ, is a justifying righteousness. It is a righteousness that justifies us before God. He has given that to us as a gift. My friends, don't you dare try to stand before God on the day of judgment with your own righteousness, talking about how good you are and how fair you've been and the things that you have done and all the times when you helped other people. Don't you dare stand before God with that. What you stand before God with is a righteousness that has been brought by Jesus the Christ. It is a gift of God to undo or to overcome what Adam did in the beginning. My friends, God has given us. That's just a few gifts that God has given us. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that say about the giver? And what does that say about the recipients of the gifts? You see, what it says about God is that God is a great and loving and merciful and wonderful God. What it says about us is that God must think an awful lot about us in order to do what he did. Now, the thing about gift giving is that sometimes in gift giving, you might have a scratch your head type moment. Have you ever received a gift from one of your friends and you kind of wonder what that was all about? Now, maybe you don't want to respond because maybe somebody who gave you a gift is right here and you want to be careful. But we are so polite and gracious about receiving gifts that sometimes we won't say anything. Now, I hate the gift, but I can't say anything to you because, you know, people say it's the thought that counts. You ever heard that foolishness? It's the thought that counts for a bad gift. But sometimes you can receive a gift and you have to even wonder, what were they thinking when they gave me this particular gift? I mean, think about it. A gift that was given by your friend that said absolutely nothing about you. A gift that was given by your friend that was in no way in line with any of your hobbies. A gift that was given to you that does not in any way fit your personality. A gift that was given to you that has nothing to do with your style. I mean, a gift that does not agree with you in any kind of way. And somebody gave you that gift. And listen, gift givers, if it takes you 15 or 20 minutes to explain the gift that you are giving to someone, let me tell you, you gave them the wrong gift. That's what that means. Now, I say all that to say this. There's some gifts we can do without. Imagine, if you will, the world personified and the world was giving us a gift. What gift would the world give us? Would it not give us the gift of materialism? Isn't that what the world would offer us? That's a gift that we can do without. In other words, the world will offer us materialism so that no one would be spiritual. You remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, when the man interrupted his sermon, asking him to have his brother divide the inheritance with him? And Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verse 15 says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things that he possesseth." Here Jesus was preaching a great sermon. You ought to go back and read Luke chapter 12 and look at the things that Jesus was talking about. I think this person should have been paying attention, but instead they had their mind on some material matters. And Jesus says to him, you know what, you need to beware and be careful. Because those things that you deem so important don't make you important. They don't make you. You're supposed to not allow those things to possess you, but you're supposed to possess the possessions. Don't let the possessions possess you. It moves Jesus to go into a parable where he talks about the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he said within himself, he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have nowhere to bestow all of my goods." He said, "This is what I do. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. And then will I bestow all of my fruits and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast many goods stored up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee." This night, they are those who require your soul. And then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The world would offer us materialism and would put us in the same position as this man. But you know, sometimes when folk give you a bad gift, they know they gave you a bad gift. They can tell by the expression on your face. You couldn't even hide it when you first got the gift. You got the thing, you started looking at it. You don't like it. You know I wasn't going to like it. Why'd you even get me this gift? This gift don't say anything about me. But I can't say that because that wouldn't be polite. But then they say something like, "Well, if you don't like it, you can take it back. The receipt is in the bag." Like they really mean that. But sometimes they'll just tell you, "Hey, if you don't like it, you can take it back." Well, that's what we ought to do with materialism. The world gave us a gift of materialism, and I tell you what, probably just about got every one of us. We got sucked in, didn't we, by that gift. You know what we ought to do? We ought to tell the world, "You can have that back. I think I'll just go trade that in." Because the world has given us a gift of materialism, a gift that we surely, surely can do without. What would Satan give? He would no doubt give darkness. Why? So that no one would be able to see the truth. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, "If our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Everyone who accepts his gift would be blinded by false philosophy, superstitions, consulting the stars, idolatry, paganism, false religion, and the list goes on and on. That's exactly how he has blinded people. When you accept false philosophy, you can't accept the truth. You can't accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you live by superstitions, then my friends, you can't live by Jesus Christ. Because when you live by Christ and his word, you got to give up those superstitions. They cannot be the thing that leads you and direct you in your life. You got to dispel them from your life because they are nothing more than darkness. When you live by the word of God, you got to give up idolatry. You can't bow down and worship anything. You can't put anything before God. You can't put anything in your life that will rival God. You got to get rid of anything that you will enthrone upon your heart other than Christ. And some things and God can't go together. You either give that up or you give God up. You'd have to give up paganism and all these false religions. You'd have to give up all of that stuff. Why? Because that stuff is nothing more than darkness. And who gave you that as a gift? It's a gift that we all could do without, but that's exactly what Satan do. He would blind us in our hearts and our minds so that we would not come to Christ. What gift would sin give? The very gift that it did give, death. Look at Romans 6 and verse number 23. He would give us death so that no man would receive eternal life. Bible says the wages of sin. Now that word wages refers to the rations of a soldier. It is what he has earned. It is what he is owed. It is what he deserves. And they used to pay soldiers in food. That's right. Used to pay them in food and things like that. And so therefore, that's what the word means. And so he says, this is exactly what they've earned. This is exactly what they deserve. And what he's saying about death is, or rather sin, is that sin has earned death. It is exactly what it deserves. And when you decide to live in a sinful manner without the saving grace of Jesus Christ, you will earn your wages, and that is eternal death, because it is put in contrast to eternal life in the same passage. My friends, gifts that we can do without. But God has given us a life-changing gift. And that life-changing gift, my friends, is his word. Among all the gifts that God has given, there is one that he has placed within our physical grasp that can change our lives. And it is the gift of his word. You can put this in your physical possession, but it is living and active. Hebrew writer says in chapter 4, verse number 12, well, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He puts something in our physical possession so that we can use our physical senses as a gift that comes from God. What are you doing with God's gift? I'll tell you what, this gift right here will help you through a lot of things. This gift right here will help you out of a lot of things. This gift right here will help you avoid a lot of things. It is a gift of his word. And you know what the Bible says about this gift? The clock say my time is up already. How'd that happen? But the Bible says that when a person receives this word, the word received gives life. That's a gift, isn't it? He gave you something physical you can put in your hands, but the words are spiritual, and the words are active, and the words are powerful, that when activated in your life and you follow and respond to it, it will give you spiritual life. My friend, it can't get much better than that. And on the next session, I'm going to talk about it. But I'm going to quit for now. What a gift. You know, sometimes people give you a gift and they want to make sure you're using that gift. You ever given a gift and you wanted to make sure that the people are using that gift? I heard a man say one time that they were given a gift. It was a hideous picture. And he said this lady was a very faithful lady, and she gave him this gift. And every time she came over, he said it was a hideous picture. Don't know why she gave it to him. But every time she came over, she was checking to see if that picture was hanging. And that's what folks do when they give you something. They want, you worn that yet? You know, you probably didn't like it. Wasn't your style, but they gave it to you. And then they got the nerve to ask you, did you wear what I gave you yet? When you gonna wear? You know, you wanna be honest and truthful with them, and you wanna say, listen, I will never. But you can't do that, because that wouldn't be polite, right? We just don't do that. But anyway, this lady gave him this picture, and this picture, they put it in the bathroom or something and put it behind something in a closet somewhere. And they said every time this lady came over, they knew she was coming over, they go and get that picture, go in and hang it up. She come in and see the picture, and then when she leave, they go and take it out, put it back in there. So sometimes people give you a gift, they want to make sure you're using that gift, that you're getting something out of the gift, that you appreciate the gift. And all I'm saying is God gave us a gift. And I'll show you in the next lesson how you receive life when you receive this gift, how this gift gives you life. So in other words, in order to receive the life, you're going to have to utilize the gift. So if you decide that this is not that important to you, you chuck it to the side, or you hide it like them folks was hiding that picture. And the only time you pull it out is when you know you're going to see God Sunday. Oh, got to go see God. Where that thing at? Anybody seen my Bible? You know I'm going to see God this morning, so I better get my gift. Hey, Lord, I'm here with my book. See what you gave me. You haven't used that thing all week. Would God be pleased with how we're using the gift? Because he gave us the gift, and it's got a great deal of benefits in it. So it's advantageous for us to actually utilize the gift that he has given us, because that gift is going to do several things. And I'm going to show you in the next lesson. That gift is going to do several things for you. But one of the things it's going to do for you is going to give you life. So if you want life, it's packaged within the gift that God has given you. If you chuck this gift, you don't get life. And whose responsibility is that? Whose fault would that be? That'd be yours. So my friends, listen, if you're here this morning, the life that you can have starts with his son, that beautiful gift that came out of heaven, the gift of his son, died for you. He was buried, he rose again the third day. And then he went away. He sent the Holy Spirit, inspired those men. Those men gave us this, which is a gift from God, so we know exactly how to come to him. So if you believe in him, you're willing to repent of your sins, change your mind. I'm tired of living the way I've been living. I'm tired of being downtrodden. I'm tired of being depressed and all those kind of things. I'm tired of letting this world get to me and beat me up. I'm tired of feeling like I'm worthless and all those kind of things. I'm tired of low self-esteem, my friend, because you know the one thing going to fix low self-esteem is when you realize God cares so much about you, he gave his son. That ought to bring you, that ought to lift you. That ought to lift you up a little bit. That ought to take care of some of those esteem issues when you think about someone that cares enough for you like that. Even to the fact that God knows every time a single hair follicle falls from your head, God knows it. He cares that much for you. So if you believe in him and you're willing to repent of your sins, you're willing to confess him before witnesses with the mouth unto salvation. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's a statement. And then behind that screen is a baptismal pool. It's full of water. We'll walk you right up there, change your garments, and dunk you right in that water, baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ. Be faithful to him, Revelation 2:10. He's already been faithful to you, and he'll be faithful to the end. He won't forget your labor of love. Heaven will be yours if you remain faithful to him. If you will respond to this invitation, we invite you to come right now. Just come on up here to me. I'm right here. I'll be waiting on you. Come to me as we stand and as we sing the invitation song.